we're going to pray the Dua al-Fatiha, the standard prayer of the Muslims, which reads in the name of God, the gracious, the compassionate. Praise be to God, the Lord of all the worlds. To the end, and we say now in Arabic. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Ihdina As-Sirat Al-Mustaqim. Sirat Al-Ladhina An'amta Alayhim. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. First, we would like to give our attention to a concern. In our Islam, it's been said of the scope of Al-Islam, the focus or the scope of Al-Islam, that is all-encompassing. Total in its scope or in its focus. That is, our religion brings before us the whole life and the total concern . We can see from the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, how everything was given due respect, due consideration. Care was taken to see that not only helpless human beings receive help, protection, but also animals, even plants. Prophet Muhammad was a man that took the time and the patience to instruct his followers against abusing or causing unnecessary damage to life, whether it be human life, animal life, or plant life. This shows the Prophet as a complete human being. There are military men who fight the war. And they consider all the soldiers to be very dear to them. And many will risk the lives of many soldiers just to go and rescue one soldier. There are such men who, in defense of their cause, never forget precious life of those who are fighting with them. But oftentimes, such men have no compassion for those outside of their company. They'll be cruel to old women, to civilians, to children, They'll be destructive to property, plant life. Look how the plant life of Vietnam was destroyed just to get at the enemy. Napalm bombs and flamethrowers to burn out the brush so the enemies would have no cover. Some of you perhaps remember the Civil War and how there was a land-scorching campaign to destroy the land, to keep from it raising any food, to get at the enemy. Prophet Muhammad was not that kind of man. He was a sensitive man. He cared about all of God's creatures. And he didn't lose the victory because he was caring about the old, caring about the civilians. And he said, those who have not picked up arms against us, those who are not fighting us, do not bother them. He did not send his army to get people just because they were on the enemy's side. They had to be having arms, bearing arms, having an intent to fight Muhammad and his followers before Muhammad would allow his soldiers, his men, to fight those people. So there was care taken to protect the civilians, to protect the old, to protect the youth, the young, the babies, the weak, the feeble-minded, the lame people, those crippled people, to protect even animals and plants. Thus Muhammad the Prophet, peace and the blessing be on him. A man who had the total concern as a responsibility upon his shoulder as the leader for all humanity. It is reported in the most sound, most authentic of the reports, historical reports, Sahih, Bukhari, Volume 3, page 295. The chapter is called the Chapter of Agriculture, Bab, the Bab of Agriculture. Bab is a book, a door, part B, and in Arabic it means a chapter. And it has a subtitle, Babu Fadli Zara'i Wal Gharsi Iza Ukila Minhu. The chapter on the bestowal of blessings in the agriculture, that is harvesting, planting, and harvesting. Regarding the eating of or the consuming of that is grown or harvest and harvest or harvest. And a quote from the Holy Book is given. أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُثُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ. Do you see the seeds that you sow? Are you the cause for their growth? Am nahnu zari'un? Are we the producers? Law nasha'u laja'alnahu hutama. If we will to, we could make it as dry dust. So here, the words of God in the Quran saying to us that we shouldn't think because we till the ground and sow seeds and get a beautiful harvest, a rich harvest, but we are the cause, that we are the owners of that. No one can create his seed. No one can create him an earth. No one can produce the climate for growing that. So who has caused it? Who has produced it? God has. Therefore, the Muslim landowner should never feel that he is really the owner. He should feel that God is the owner, and he has a limited time to watch over that, or to take good care of it, and to make it productive for God's pleasure and for the good of the society, beginning with his family and etc. Muslims do not see themselves as owners, especially of natural properties or natural products, but as the trustee for them. In fact, if we understand, we are not to see ourselves as owners of anything, not even our own selves. Not even the money that we earn. Even that is to be considered a trust from Allah to us. See how we will conduct our affairs. To give us an opportunity to earn excellence before God and before man. And most importantly, before God. The Prophet, the peace and the blessings be on him, it is said by Anas, well known reporter of hadith in the early days of the Ummah, may God be pleased with him. He said, the Messenger of Allah said, peace and the blessings be on him, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, quote, ما من مسلم يغرس غرسا أو يزرع زرعا فيأكل منه طير أو إنسان أو بهيمة إلا كان له به صدقة. The Prophet said, peace and blessings be on him, whenever any Muslim cultivate a land, plant trees or plants on it, or grow vegetation or produce on it, then from what he has done, eats from it the birds, or human being, or beast, or animal. He will not, these creatures will not eat from it without the owner, that person who plants and harvests and develops the land, grow the rich vegetation, the trees, or whatever, without that person getting a reward for that. So
So the Prophet has given a great incentive here to those who sow seeds, make land productive, or plant trees. He's given a great incentive to them that they should look upon the birds that come and eat from their land as creatures that they are taken care of by the grace of God, and God is going to give him an additional blessing for him allowing the birds to eat from his crop, or the animals to eat from his crop, or human beings to eat from his crop. Now you see here, birds, animals, and human beings have been all put in the same context. Birds, animals, and human beings. If a man who's rich comes by and he eats something from your crop, from your field, he should have a reasonable explanation. But he is, I'm wealthy, I'm rich, but I'm so many miles from home, I was stranded here and I saw the fruit here and I came, I was hungry, so I picked something. Would the Muslim say, well, that's mine, you have to pay me? No. No. Not a real Muslim. But now he's in a situation, though he's rich, but he's away from home and he doesn't have any fruit, you should give him fruit from your crop. But it is mainly a provision for those human beings who are in an animal state. They are desperate for survival like the animals. They have no establishment. They're out of doors. They have no home. They have no wealth. They have nothing. They're the poor, the unestablished, the have-nots.
And if a hungry person comes and eats from your tree or eats something out of your garden, you let him have it. You do not say, hey, what are you doing? I'm going to shoot you. Wait. If you run, I'll shoot you. Isn't that what they do over here? Many people have lost their lives for taking a little piece of fruit off of a bush or tree. Hey, what are you doing there? Take a gun and shoot him. He was on my property. He was trespassing. The law protects them many times. If we follow the religion as the Prophet Muhammad taught it and lived it, we'll be the best people on this earth. God says that.
You are the best community brought up for the good of all people. That's what Allah says in our holy book.
And all you have to do to realize that you are the best community
is study Quran and study the life of Muhammad and see what this religion is, and you will bear witness that certainly the Muslim community, if it lives what it professes, it will be the best community, a good example, the best help to all humanity. That's what God intends for us. That's what he made us. And it's our neglect, it's our own shortcomings when we don't measure up to that. Well, he said if any bird or any animal, human being, any bird or any human being or any animal eat from that, then you're sure to get a blessing through their eating of that that you yourself worked for
and produced. So this teaches the Muslim to have compassion on birds, on animals. Should the Western world be the world that cares for birds and animals? I don't read things in the scripture, in the Christian scripture, to inspire that kind of respect and that kind of devotion, that kind of protection for the life of these animals and things. But look, who has done that? The West has done it. They have been very cruel on one side now. Now, we can't praise them all the way. On one side, they have been totally inconsiderate and cruel. But on the other side, you have the other movement, the humanist movement, that have taken into responsibility and may even made it law that you don't abuse the animals. Care for the animals, that they should be fed. If anybody has a domestic pet, an animal, and you mistreat them, in most of the states, these United States or cities, you can be brought to law. You can be prosecuted for mistreating an animal. A cat, dog, bird, any animal. If it can be proven that you are cruel to that animal. Where did they get that from? I repeat. They must have got it from our religion. Because I don't find it as clear in their religion as it is in ours. So I'm inclined to believe that they got it from our religion. But what have we been doing? In fact, most of the excellence of modern society, I see it coming from the Quran and from the life of Muhammad. Most of the excellence, I see it clearly taught as principle and as teachings in the Quran and in the life of Muhammad. Most of the excellence they have, the excellent form of democracy they have, I see it best represented in the Quran and the life of Muhammad. The care for the weak, the care for the poor. I see that best reflected in Quran and in the life of Muhammad. I don't see it in their own documents, except in those documents that were made very recently. Centuries after the coming of the Quran and the life of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. And I repeat, what have the Muslims been doing? I think when the West discovered firearms and the Ummah, the Muslim community, went to sleep after its great strides that it made, great glory day it had, it went to sleep, as the Prophet said. He said, my community would go to sleep, it will go to sleep. He said, and the reason for it going to sleep will be the love for riches. The easy life. The easy material life. And he said his ummah, his community would come back. It will be revived. And he said it will come back by the same type people that it was started with. What kind of people it was started with? Common masses. The common masses. He said the poor. So it began with the poor. And it shall be returned by the poor, or with the poor. But the Muslim concern should be total. We need people in the community, people representing our community, the Muslim community. Whether we be in China and America and Asia and Africa, no matter where we are, we need people representing our community that are in touch with the truth of Muslim life. That are in touch with the whole concern that has been given to us by God through Quran and through the Prophet, peace be on him. Then we will have excellence. We'll have progress. We will have lasting life. But with these Muslims who only want just to have a name, just to take on a new name, well, I'm not a Baptist anymore, I'm a Muslim. So I'm ain't satisfied to be called just Muslim. I ain't a Baptist anymore, I'm a Shiite. I'm an Ahmadi. Not to say the Shia and the Ahmadi are the same, they're not. The Ahmadi is much farther from the right than the Shia. But these are only schools of thoughts, and actually Shia is a faction. It's a separate faction. The Ahmadi. Making un-Islamic claims. and seeking to establish their small invention over the original idea. That's bad, especially when you do it knowingly. Many ignorant people come into these things and they don't know. But once you know, that's a terrible thing to do. We don't need these narrow views, these narrow ideas. We need the universal view, the universal idea, the total concern. And that's what is established in Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. We need people not motivated by sect, by class, by fraternity, by nationalism, by race, or any such thing. We need people motivated by innocence, goodness, righteousness, love for all of God's creatures, devotion to God's pleasure over their own narrow kind of a thing that they may have. That's the kind of people we need. And if you study the Quran and study the life of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be on him, you will come to see the great future that God has given us when he blessed us to be Muslims. Great future. There's no people on this earth to outstrip us, to go ahead of us, to advance over us. If we accept what God has given us in the Quran and follow the prophet that he has established in the Quran and in this earth. No, it's no people to shame us. No people will be more productive than us. We will be more productive than any other people. The people who are more productive industrially in terms of technology than the Muslims are the people who have borrowed the insight from the Quran and Muhammad. And whether you know these things, whether you can trace their doings and trace their maneuvers to see that they have copied Muhammad the Prophet, peace be on him, and took from the scripture that he brought, or not, you should be able to see that what they teach now had to destroy what they were before it could be established. They had to first destroy the idea, the influence of Christianity over their society before establishing the good human life that they have established. That good human life that we can identify. Before establishing true democracy, they had to break the rule of the church. Before establishing rights for women, they had to break the rule of the church. Before establishing freedom for blacks, they had to break the rule of the church. Because it was the church that said that blacks were cursed and didn't admit them into any of their churches. The blacks had to go and establish a separate church for themselves after slavery. The AME church was the first one established because no whites would let blacks in. This is nothing but facts. Before they could establish respect for animal life, they had to break with the church. So where all of this came from then? What inspired all of this? It must have been the Quran. That's where it's at. It must have been Muhammad. That's who had it. Oh, they say, oh no, we got this from the Greeks, the ancient Greeks. We know about the ancient Greeks. We know about the homosexuals and the few men. And the great divisions that they had, the great mix-up that they had. Certainly there was democracy there. There was democracy everywhere at one time. But how long did it last? And it wasn't clear. And it was piecemeal because they had to take something from this philosopher He only could give them a little part, something from that philosopher, and they went around taking this and that. And when you put it all together, you still don't come up with what they got now without looking to something beyond that. Allah, when He blesses people, that people have the opportunity then to become the model, the example for all the other people. God says of the people who were given the book before, even Adam, the prophet, or the first man, Abraham and his descendants, the family of Imran, Moses and Jesus and all of them, Judaism, Christianity,